You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
high hopes are quickly dashed against the Titans.
Although Christian Watson might just be the silver lining.
We discuss how we got to this disappointing crossroads.
And answer the question, where do we go from here?
Four quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's once again time for some Packers news, sadness, and depression here on Cheesehead Radio. No fun and frivolity tonight. Now in our 13th season doing this crazy thing. As usual, our esteemed hosts tonight are CeeDee Angeli of Packers Talk. You can find him at Tundra Vision on Twitter. Kelly Hodgson of Cheesehead Radio. Find her at That Packer Girl on Twitter. And little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Our longtime friends at Ticket King are back as official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all of the Packers Talk podcasts. Ticket King has been in business for more than 25 years in Wisconsin, and they've got offices across the street from Lambeau Field and in Milwaukee. For Packers game tickets, please visit their website today at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com, and please tell them we sent you. That's it for the preliminaries. Let's get this depressing show on the road.
Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here?
The battle's done and we kind of won, so we sound our victory cheer. Where do we go from here?
It's a depressing show.
We need depressing music.
We need like funeral dirge music.
Right, exactly.
Right here.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe, well, some New Orleans funeral dirge jazz.
That's kind of cool to listen to, though. So the Green Bay Packers lose in less than spectacular fashion to the Tennessee Titans at home. This coming off what was really an exciting win against Dallas. We talked about it last week. It just feels a little bit like there's this inevitability that was put on hold for a week, and it just really came crashing back to earth against the Titans. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, it wasn't a dream. This 2022 season is real.
Yeah. It was a kick in the teeth.
We had a 1 week reprieve. Right. We had hope injected back in our veins, and then it was a bloodletting and it all just disappeared.
And we were all crazy thinking, well, maybe CD wasn't, but we were all crazy thinking they might pull it up, but they didn't.
No, it was doable. It was a winnable game.
But it just seemed like it wasn't like they ran out of time. It's like they ran out of gas. It was just like a balloon letting its air out.
One thing that I noticed, and a common complaint, was that the Packers went completely away from the strategy that they had against Dallas, where they ran the ball very solidly and then passed a little more in the second half. Really, I don't know if it was that different, though, because they did try to run the ball. It's just these were the Titans, and the Titans closed up those holes, and the running game was not effective at all.
I don't know that I agree with that completely.
Tell me.
Yeah, I think they gave up too soon. I mean, even if you're not running as effectively as you did against the Cowboys, you still have to run the ball to set up what you want to do downfield. And you know the Packers love to go downfield. But when the secondary really don't have to worry about, you know, stopping the run much, and they can just man up on the Packers, which the Titans love to do, and they did a lot of, especially on third down, and the Packers tried to do weird stuff against it and failed. But I think if they had stuck more with attempting to run the ball, I think they might have had some better success in the passing game. Yes, they weren't as successful. They didn't gain as many yards as they did in Dallas, but they didn't try as hard or as much as they did against Dallas, right?
It didn't seem as balanced. They gave up on it
too quickly.
It didn't seem as balanced as it was against Dallas. Dallas, it was like, oh, yeah, well, if you want to be successful, you have to run. This game, it seemed like it was really an anemic attempt to, hey, let's start the run. And they were so quick to give up on it.
And the one thing, the one complaint I had was, you know, all the majority of their runs were right into the middle of the defense.
Yes.
The few times that they actually got the ball outside, you know, Aaron Jones picked up some yards. Why didn't they do that more? Why go right into the heart of the defense that's known for being so good against the run? And we're talking about the defensive line and the inside linebackers. That's where the Titans are strong. So, again, it's just doing things that just don't seem to be logical or make sense on offense.
But you know what, though? I'll even disagree with you a little bit.
Is that allowed?
It is. They were doing that little pitch out to Aaron Jones.
Once or twice.
They did. And he did it a couple times, but then they did it and they were coming up and stuffing him. He wasn't getting any yardage on it.
He was losing yardage on those plays.
So then they kind of went back and says, oh, let's just try to tee up and let's just run it down their throats, which obviously they struggled doing. Goes back to something we said weeks ago. I don't know why we're not putting both running backs and allowing A.J. Dillon to do some blocking or putting Josiah DeGuara back there. But, you know, when you're trying to take this somewhat piecemeal offensive line against a really, really good and talented NFL defensive line and running out of a single back set, which, you know, we know is sometimes either out of a shotgun or not as much time to set up, you really should have that extra blocker. It really would help.
Yeah, that's where I kind of miss the traditional fullback. I know that position's kind of going the way of the dodo bird. But when you have a first down, you know, or second and long, and if everybody's going to go to the runner, it seems like in the LaFleur offense, and every defense knows it's coming, you know, why don't you give them a little more of a block and hope that instead of running it up the middle, maybe they can get more than a yard or two, or maybe not get stuffed.
You know, on the other side of the ball, we unfortunately made Ryan Tannehill look like Joe Montana in his prime.
Vintage Packers making average quarterbacks look great.
Right.
Vintage.
But the funny part is we sort of kept Derrick Henry in check, at least in the run game. He got a couple passes for some really, really big gainers.
The screenplay was really the only big play, right,
yeah, that he got. It was like 50 yards or something, 40, 50 yards.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just watching him throw this ball. And, yeah, I mean, some of them were closely guarded plays, and he did a really nice job. A lot of times they were really wide open people. And you're just asking yourself this question. We're paying Aaron Rodgers $50 million to do what Ryan Tannehill is doing and making it look very easy. That a guy like Ryan Tannehill could come in here and look that good against an NFL defense. It's just crazy. But teams are figuring out what they can do against the Packers offensively and defensively, and they're just doing it. They know what to do. They study the tape, and we've not seen the Packers really make any big adjustments other than when things were kind of clicking against the Cowboys.
Or how about a very obvious wildcat play? It's like they get completely caught unaware. And guys, we know that the Titans are going to run it. It doesn't matter whether it goes a direct snap, the one play I'm thinking of, or if it's going to Henry. It's like, come prepared for anything. But the Packers just seemed like they weren't prepared on either side of the ball this week.
I mean, I want to give credit to Tannehill because he did throw some really nice passes, I've got to say, right on the money passes. Of course, it helped that he didn't really have much pressure on him. So, you know, he didn't really have anything to be nervous about. But, you know, the other side of the coin is he had receivers on some plays that were like open by 20 yards. I mean, there wasn't a Packer defender anywhere near. I mean, you got two Titans receivers on the right side. They do a simple crisscross and both Packers DBs take the one player and leave the other guy all alone. I mean, we're in week 11. How are you still making mistakes like that? It's just unfathomable.
Well, that almost seemed like a high school mistake, kind of a crisscross. Like, strikes me as something, ooh, the razzle-dazzle of high school football.
Yeah, you know, you can't play.
You can't play against that.
Right?
The one thing that I think is bothering me most is, you know,
you can pick one thing. You're a better man than I.
The jump pass, you know, that the Titans were doing, and you know, just the ease which they're doing. You go back and think about
it's a great play.
The Jets, you know, and wearing the cheese head after the game and having fun with that, and the Lions just, you know, having this great feeling of finally beating the Packers. Teams are having way too much fun playing the Packers. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, they're just coming in. It's like
when it's easy, it's fun. See,
they're giddy. I mean, they're like, we got a game plan and we know what to do and it's working. And you're not sensing any joy from this Packer team. Even sort of didn't feel it against the Cowboys to a degree. It was like, you know, like I said, we talked last week about Rodgers and LaFleur still kind of nitpicking each other. It's like, oh my gosh, people, this game is supposed to be fun.
But Christian Watson looked like he was having fun, but it's coming down to he's the entire offense lately, and that's not something I want a rookie to have to shoulder.
Well, it's a great point. Speaking of which, let's end this first quarter. We're definitely going to call this one a loss. And speaking of Christian Watson, let's go into our second quarter. Wide receiver picture is fluxing and changing as we speak.
What was that word?
Fluxing.
Okay.
Yes.
Check
but
it.
Let's talk a little bit about that Christian Watson fellow there, Kelly. Go ahead. You kind of started us out. Finish it up.
Well, let's see. He scored 5 touchdowns in 2 games.
Not bad.
Within 5 days.
Within 5 days. Really not looking like a rookie. He's getting the passes that used to go to Devontae Adams, the back shoulder passes, the thread the needle passes. I think compared to the other receivers on the depth chart right now, I hate to say it, Lazard is not the number one. I think Watson is their number one receiver right now, and he's a rookie.
And he's only played a few games.
I was going to say, he's only been healthy for like 3 of them.
Right.
But compare him in his productivity and the fact that Rodgers trusts him to this extent. It's like he's got one target right now. It's like Cobb moves him down the field, but the only person he's really thrown to in the end zone right now is Christian Watson.
You know, and Rodgers did come out in training camp, and when there was a lot of questions about Christian Watson being hurt and was he going to be able to contribute, Rodgers did make that statement that, you know, he is in every meeting. This guy has amazing talent. I'm not worried about him at all. And you're seeing a little bit of that trust that he's willing to put some of those balls in places that they could be picked off. But he's trusting Watson to go up and get those. Yes, as you said, as Devontae used to. But some of those catches are just amazing. And all he does is catch touchdowns.
But look at how we were heading into the season where they're like, well, by default, it's Lazard as number one. I don't think he's even there right now. He's really been non-existent for a lot of the season.
I don't know that I would say non-existent. That's a little strong.
Well, not non-existent, but not major impact.
I mean, he's caught a decent amount of those sideline, you know, fly patterns that Rodgers loves so much, the ones that are always contested and always difficult to complete and require a perfect pass to complete because Lazard can't really get separation with anybody. But to your point, I've never really considered him a number one receiver. It was kind of by default starting training camp. There was really nobody else you could hang that on. I think now, as you've pointed out, you can certainly hang that on Christian Watson and say, as long as he stays healthy, he's the number one guy moving forward.
And I think that really Lazard is kind of that toolbox kind of guy, that old Paul Kaufman kind of guy. He's the one out there making those amazing blocks and opening things up for runners and other receivers.
Yeah. Super valuable player.
Right, but he is the guy that you kind of go to on the third down, and he's the guy that goes out and stops at the marker and catches the ball. You know, he's not Devontae Adams. He's not the guy that's going to just bust open the field or make this circus catch. He's just the guy that's going to do what you need him to do. It's fine. He's a great guy. I love him on the team, but he's a third receiver. He is. He's a great receiver. Great third receiver. But you're right. We have drafted, luckily, a couple of guys here that appear ready to step into 1 and 2, and I'm excited for the future.
And, yeah. You know, everyone was very critical of Christian Watson earlier in the season with all the drops he had. And I was one of them, even at the beginning of the Dallas game. I'm like, geez, Louise, dude, you have one job. Drops 2. But then went on to score three. He has had a very steep learning curve this year. And like you said earlier, he didn't get a whole lot of preseason play. I'm really happy with his maturity as a rookie. And I think we see some of that in Romeo Doubs as well. We're pretty well suited for the future, but it's like, what are we going to need to do in the meantime for 3, 4, 5 as far as the receivers? Because, you know, Cobb's okay. Cobb gets a couple good plays a game. I like that he's on the team. I like that he came back for bargain basement prices. But we have a steep drop off once we get below Cobb and Lazard.
Well, some interesting things that happened on the Packers depth chart today is Christian Watson has officially been moved into the role of a starter.
Shocking.
Not surprised
by that.
Which
is interesting. But it is big because Sammy Watkins has been demoted to the fifth wide receiver with only is the only one Touré behind him. Yes, I know. So that's interesting that there's this little bit of a shuffle. Remember, of course, we had Amari Rodgers who was released last week. So, yeah, this wide receiver room is suddenly changing not only some of the faces, but some of the pecking order as well. And I think that's kind of cool. It's also not unexpected. I remember us talking about this actually back in August that we said, well, these are the starters now. I don't know if they'll be in the starters halfway through the season.
I like that LaFleur and company are rewarding consistency, hard work, and productivity in the game. You can be good in practice, but unless you show up during the game, you know, whether you're ranked number one or number five, it doesn't really matter. It's got to be what you do on the field. And I think I like that Watkins is moved up to a number one and number two spot.
Watson.
I keep flipping these names. Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins. Whereas Sammy Watkins, though, I think has been incredibly disappointing this year. And bumping down to number five, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, Watkins, really, if he's covered in man, he cannot get away from a defensive back. He's just like they're stuck like glue to him. He has no moves to get away from. The only time he has gotten open and caught any passes, it was against his own defense where he was able to find a hole in the zone. So that's a very limited skill set, you know. And sure, they got him for almost nothing and some veteran insurance, and anything he provides, I guess, is gravy. But yeah, there's no way we should be depending on him for anything.
And I don't expect him to make the roster next year. I'm just going to be that blunt.
No, 1 year deal.
The Packers did bring in some wide receivers for workouts this week, including a familiar name. Actually, two familiar names. I think there are about five receivers brought in. But Geronimo Allison, former Green Bay Packer. And
what has he been up to?
I don't think he's not been on a roster. I think last year, wasn't he with the Lions?
I'm saying recently. Has he been with a team?
Nothing.
This year. But last year, was he on a team?
I think he was with the Lions.
Okay.
And University of Wisconsin's Danny Davis, who I believe spent 4 weeks with the Packers in training camp this year, brought him back too. I thought he had a couple nice passes in practice, did pretty well. So
yeah, he made himself recognized in practice a few times from what we've read. So
yes.
Have they floated an offer to either one of them?
As of yet, no.
So probably not. Yeah. If I had to pick the two, you know, Danny Davis, because he's seen the LaFleur offense, I'd be more apt to take him over Allison, who is a byproduct of the McCarthy years. And he hasn't played in like forever.
Then he might fit in better, Kelly.
That's true.
Look at it that way, because we're sure as hell not running the LaFleur offense.
But he hasn't played in forever.
I know. Well, I'm being cynical here.
I know. We're all being
cynical. You don't have to respond to that.
Tune in to Cheesehead Radio, where it's all doom, all gloom, all the time.
Well, I'm gonna take that personally right now. I seem to recall in our NFL draft, we were all very excited. We had like four big first round wide receiver names that we were absolutely positively sure we were going to take one of them. If we didn't get one of them, we were going to have to trade up to get one of them because we needed one of those four guys. I don't know about you guys. I was really pushing for them. All of them were off the board by the time we got there.
Yep, all gone.
Next available wide receiver was some guy named, Christian Watson, who we did trade up for to get right away on day two.
Right.
And then we picked up some kid named Romeo Doubs in the fourth round. Jacob Morley on Twitter actually put together a really nice set of stats talking about both Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, looking at rookie wide receivers who've had at least 15 targets and how they're ranking right now, Watson right now is ranking out of 13 wide receivers. He's ninth in targets, ninth in receptions, eight in yards. Mind you, remember, he's only played like three games.
Roughly, a little bit more.
First in touchdown and third overall in yards per route at 2.04. So he's getting touchdowns and he's making some good yards when he's getting those receptions. Dobbs is ranked sixth overall in targets, fifth overall in receptions, sixth overall in yards, third overall in touchdowns, and ninth overall in yards per route. He didn't do too bad when you think about it, getting two pretty nice wide receivers, not in round one.
That's great production for guys who have not played 11 games.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you put them together, right? they may have played 11. Together, they've probably played 11 games. But, you know, they put George Pickens, who, of course, was one of our salivation targets during the draft. And, you know, he's ranking just fourth, third, fourth, and 10. But, I mean, you look at the stats, he's got 54 targets. Dobbs has 48. He has 33 receptions. Dobbs has 31. He has 453 yards total. Dobbs has 314. He has two touchdowns. Dobbs and Watson each have more touchdowns than George Pickens does by himself. And actually, George Pickens ranks 10 out of 13 in yards per route. So he's catching a lot of short passes.
It's as if Goody knew what he was doing.
Well, you know, there is a positive to this. I mean, these are two guys that honestly are probably going to be the two starting wide receivers next year.
We just got two. That's a good possibility.
That's a very good possibility.
And two solid starters, very young and in their first contract. Really something that you can build around, possibly with Aaron Rodgers, possibly with a new quarterback, but good job to Gutekunst on that one.
And very appealing to CD because they're dirt cheap.
I love that. So end of the second quarter. We're going to call this a win.
I'm going to call it a win too, yes.
For sure.
And how often would we be able to say the wide receiver crew is a win at any point this season? That's pretty good.
Well, we figured out a way to make it happen.
Yes, we stretched it a little bit. But anyway.
Forward thinking.
They are. And we're not all doom and gloom like Kelly would have you believe.
Right.
And that will take us to halftime. We're going to step into the locker room while you enjoy this message from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
All right, welcome back to Cheesehead Radio. Where do we go from here is the title of this episode, and we're going to have some good little conservation right here. My name is CD Angeli. I am flanked by Kelly Hodgson, and on the other side, Jersey Albracco. And we're going to, first of all, debate this. This is just going to be an open round robin, knock him down, drag it out if we need. But the big question right now is, why are we the way we are? How did we get here? If you think about it, we've had three seasons, three 13-win seasons, three playoff appearances in a row, two of them on first-round byes, two NFC championship games, two MVPs, and suddenly we're looking at a team that has no communication, no synergy on offense, a defense they can't communicate with each other that is just porous, special teams mistakes all years, obviously, and Matt LaFleur just making coaching gaffe after coaching gaffe. The timeouts against the Titans, calling them all with 5 minutes left. What? I mean, it's just, he just comes to the podium. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess I screwed that up. Yeah, dumbass, you did. What? Sorry.
Tell us how you feel, CD.
Yes, CD. As you said, not doom and gloom.
Yeah. No,
not at all.
It's not doom and gloom. That's like, duh.
That's reality is what that is.
So let's take it around here. What has changed from 2019, 2020, 2021 to this season? How is it so dramatically different right away in game?
Put on your tinfoil hats, kids. Let's go for a ride.
Well, we're going to start with Kelly.
Yeah, we're starting with me. I'm on top of the list. Okay, so the past two seasons, we've been talking about all in. The Packers are all in. We are stacking the deck with talent. I think we've been all in to the point where emotionally, they can no longer be all in. I think they have run out of energy in that aspect. And as a result, you have a quarterback who doesn't look like he's even having fun anymore. I don't know if that's age, apathy, ayahuasca, or he just wants out. But it's clear to me that Rodgers just doesn't seem like his heart's in it. I think because of him, a lot of this rolls downhill. That doesn't explain the defense, but I think that isn't helping matters with the pissing contest he has perpetually. So I think a lot of the problems on offense really do stem from Rodgers. Yes, we had enormous turnover in wide receivers. The blue chip talent has gone elsewhere. And I don't think between Rodgers' attitude and a stable of young receivers that he cares as much anymore, because it really seems like he's phoning it in. That doesn't explain the defense, but I think there's a lack of leadership in defense going all the way to Joe Barry. This doesn't seem like the defense can get it together, all on the same page. Some of our talents either hurt, like Devondre Campbell, but also the secondary seems a little lost this year as well. You see some drop off from Savage. Stokes, before he got hurt, seemed like he wasn't playing at 100%. I just think it's a combination of emotional exhaustion after 2 years. Can I blame it?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
All right, Al, we'll take you next there.
Take me next. Yeah, all right.
Kelly actually went so long with her answer, I think she blew out her microphone. So,
I had a whole lot of thoughts. I'm gone.
Oh, okay. You did cut out there for a second, but anyway. All right, so I'm just going to take one at a time here. We'll start with the defense, just to change it up here. What's different about the Packers defense? Well, what they've got here is finally the real Joe Barry standing up and raising his hand and saying, "This is who I am." Okay. We know his record was pretty horrendous previous to coming to the Packers. Despite that, he got hired by LaFleur as the defensive coordinator. It's been a few years now of middling results and disappointments and not playing aggressive defense. And really, I mean, is there a softer defense in the league than the Packers? And I'm talking soft in terms of scheme and in terms of attitude. Remember when he was first hired and it was going to be everybody flying to the ball? Well, that lasted for preseason, I'm going to say, maybe a couple of games in, and then we went into the soft zone and everything being careful and just consumed with not giving up a big play, doing everything possible to not give up a big play, including allowing 7-yard easy completions when it's 3rd and 2 on a continual basis. So that's your defense. The offensive side, not too different from Kelly, but I don't think it's an apathy thing. I think what we have here is a Hall of Fame quarterback who made a big deal about wanting to be part of the conversations, right? This all started when they drafted Jordan Love, and that whole offseason of discontent, and the Packers, you know, don't consult me about anything, blah, 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 blah. Well, now they're in a position where they're just kowtowing to their future Hall of Fame quarterback. And while he certainly deserves, and as other quarterbacks in his position would deserve, a voice, I think we're at the point there where they're afraid to say no to him. You know, they're just at that point. It's a constant battle, as we've talked about here many times, between LaFleur and Rodgers as to what kind of offense they're going to run. Obviously, this year, Rodgers has won the battle. You know, it's kind of like two chefs. You put two chefs into a kitchen, and one's the head chef and one's the sous chef. And the sous chef, he wants to be the head chef. And he's really persistent about it. And the head chef kind of doesn't want to piss him off because he doesn't want him to quit, you know. So he kind of lets him have his way a little more than he should. And I think that's where we are with the offense, if that analogy makes any sense. Special teams, you know, the special teams are better this year. I know that's hard to say or hard to understand, but, you know, there's one big, fat, ugly mole on the face of the special teams, and that's what they did, allowing Amari Rodgers to go out there week after week after week and fumble the ball. If they had taken care of that, let's say after the Giants game, you know, in London, really the rest of the special teams have been an improvement. They brought in players specifically for special teams that have helped. The punting has been fine. The kickoffs, you know, we all knew that Crosby didn't have the leg that he used to have, and he wasn't going to be able to kick it in the end zone. But they haven't given up any really long returns, which they were doing on a regular basis last year. The field goal operation, a few little hiccups, you know. We do still have a rather inexperienced snapper, and Mason Crosby is now 83 years old or something like that, so he's not going to be as consistent as he was before. But overall, if you take away the Amari Rodgers fiasco, the special teams are the one area that you can really say of this team that has improved. And that, my friends, is how we are, is how we got here at this point in 2022. The end.
Well done. So
your turn.
I'm gonna take it from a little bit more of a 20,000 foot view. I always used to say that last thing you want to do is lose the Super Bowl, because you work all this way, you build up all this pressure and tension and excitement and anxiety, and then you get to the big game and you lose. And there are very few teams who have lost a Super Bowl who've had really good success or won the Super Bowl the next year. It's a very deflating experience. And I've been wondering when this was going to kind of catch up to the Packers, because they have had the expectation each of the last three seasons to be in the Super Bowl. I mean, prognosticators across the NFL, people with no connection to the Packers, predicting Green Bay versus Kansas City in the Super Bowl, Green Bay versus Buffalo in the Super Bowl. Remember that? Every year it's been Green Bay and someone else. So you have all these expectations, and then you go out 3 years in a row and lay an egg. First, you lose the NFC Championship on the road. So you say, oh, we got to get the first round bye. You get the first round bye. Guess what happens? You lose that too. You get another first round bye, and then you actually lose the first game. Eventually, this catches up. I just think the Packers have reached a point of frustration where you can only do this so many times. This window is only open for so long. And to be honest with you, and to agree with you a little bit on the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, there's so many times you can do this under this microscope of we have to win Aaron Rodgers his ring. And then Aaron Rodgers kind of does his routine where he's not particularly being a team leader, but trying to be this quasi front office person at the same time, and then does all of his stuff on Pat McAfee, and, you know, sit there and doesn't come to training camp and goes down and does Quaaludes or something down in Brazil. At some point, the wheels come off, and I do think that's what's happened. I look at what's happened with the Packers this year, and it's systemic. It's a psychological, emotional let down to where none of these players, none of these coaches are actually working with any synergy with everyone. Everyone's in a silo. Everyone's just doing stuff for themselves. There's so little communication even between the coaches and the players. To me, that's the problem. And I don't know how you fix it, but I can tell you one thing, talking to my good friend here, Ken Ingles, you know, he said, actually today on Twitter,
your alter ego
last year was the all-in year. Last year was the last year you could contractually do this. He said 2022 is not
100% correct.
2022 is not the year. We have spread out too much money and we don't have the talent. This season probably should not contractually be that.
All right.
So we're going to end the third quarter there now that we haven't decided really anything on the way that we are.
It makes it a push by default, doesn't it?
Sure. We're all right and all wrong. But now we're going to get to the fourth quarter. And this is the one that I think deserves the most attention from us today. And if you listened with us this long, thank you for putting up with us. Where do we go from here? What are we going to do? Because we can see the problems. Whether we know why the problems there or not, we know the problems are there. We know now that the playoffs are infinitesimal in terms of possibilities. They're becoming the idea that you have maybe a 6% chance of making the playoffs if you win out, which we know we're probably not even going to win the game against the Eagles. What do we do for these last games? What are we going to do for the rest of the season? So let's take it around here. Obviously, one of the big things on Twitter right now is, what do we do with Jordan Love? Does he continue to ride the pine? Does Aaron Rodgers continue to start?
That's a really good question. Because right now, offense and these baby receivers that are developing in a system predicated on Rodgers' arm. If you put Love in like you did last year, when he had to go in when Rodgers had COVID against the Chiefs, you're going to suddenly be playing Rodgers light. And I think that would be to the detriment of these receivers as they develop into the true starters for next year. As much as I want Love to do better, I've not seen anything in the past 2 years that gives me confidence that he would do any better than Rodgers, other than maybe running the ball on his own. So I don't know if Love is the answer. And I honestly, and I'll mention this later, I don't know if Love is the answer long term either. But I have a question for you guys. If the draft happened today, are we still looking at the Packers being around number 8 in the picks, or have we moved up a little bit?
No, actually, that was never the case. They were never that high. Right now, they're around 11, 10 or 11.
So the Packers lose against Philly.
Then they should move into the top 10.
Yeah, hey, then I say if the Packers move into the top 10, I don't know if Rodgers is, or if Love is the solution this year, or if he's even the solution in the future, because looking at the incoming draft class for quarterbacks, we may be looking at a totally different quarterback in the quarterbacks room next year.
Yeah, I think if Rodgers comes back, then they really have to look to trade Love and then draft another quarterback with their first pick, which is, of course, is going to drive everybody insane that it's not a wide receiver. But hey, I think
we really need a quarterback, though.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, in terms of, just to answer the question, where do we go from here? Who the hell knows is the answer to that, okay? They really screwed themselves this year, okay? I was more than happy after the 49ers lost and seeing the pathetic Rodgers performance and the offense. And I said, you know what? It's time. Now's the time.
We all said that.
Yeah, we all said that. Absolutely, all three of us. I'm ready. I'm ready to let go of Aaron Rodgers. Let him go do whatever he wants, and let's see what Jordan Love is, and let's see what LaFleur's offense looks like with a quarterback that just executes his offense. We're all ready for that, right? Well, needless to say, it didn't happen. We got ourselves in an untenable cap situation, right?
I love that word.
Thank you. And you're going to love this one, too. We kicked the can down the road. To such an extent, such a giant can that we kicked is the problem. It wasn't just a little tiny can, you know, that, all right, we can squash that can in the future and recycle it somehow. We crushed a can the size of the Empire State Building, and now we're stuck with it. How do we get rid of it? We can't get rid of it, right? It's all in whatever Rodgers wants to do.
I'm just excited that you actually can.
Well, I did that for you.
With that, I mean,
I did that for you.
It's meaningful. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I denied it all through last year, but at the end of last year, I said, "All right, I'm done with that. I'm done with that." But then again, what do they do? Is it they double down, they triple down, they quadruple down on it? Okay. Well, you're a Packers fan. What are you going to do? You're going to hope for the best, right? You're going to support your team. You're going to hope for the best. Needless to say, the best is not what has happened here.
It most certainly is not.
Is not. So,
do you see any coaches being released before the end of the season?
Not before the end of the season, no. God willing, most of the defensive coaching staff from the secondary and the coordinator will be gone, God willing.
Well, if the coordinator goes, isn't anyone else kind of
not necessarily
hire and fire at the coordinator's leisure?
I mean, usually most of them go, but I think there are some coaches on the defensive side there that are worth keeping. But of course, that's up to the Packers and whoever the new DC is, whether they want to keep him or not. But Jerry Gray I mean, I don't know what he's doing back there, if he's really any good or not. And I know on a couple occasions in some press conferences, when asked questions about scheme, he's just said, referred it to Barry. So you'll have to ask anything scheme related, you'll have to ask Coach Barry. So I got the feeling that Jerry Gray is like the guy that knows better, that knows what he's coaching is wrong. But, you know, he's got a job. He doesn't want to get fired from his job. He's got to do what his boss tells him. You know, we've all been in that situation, right? Where your boss is telling you that it's got to be a certain way, and you know that that's not the best way, but you do it. I have a feeling that's where Jerry Gray is. I have a feeling that things might be a little different in the secondary if he was calling the shots. I don't know that. That's pure conjecture, but I know I'm rambling here. Where was I?
I don't know. You're kind of Kellying over here.
Right?
Hey, sometimes you have a lot of thoughts and they all have to come out.
They all come out at once, right? So, all right. I'll let somebody else chime in now and then we'll go from there.
That would be CD. Where do you think we go or they go?
Oh, you know, going back to Jordan Love, I would love to see him get a start or two. I would love for them to say, you know, Aaron, that thumb really needs to heal for a couple weeks. I would love for him to say that.
You go on IR.
And didn't he finally admit that it's broken?
He didn't admit it.
No.
Or it was some kid who said.
Some kid. He told some kid. Well, some kid was this gentleman called Big B, who's on Twitter a lot. And
he got his Make-A-Wish, and I think he's one of the underage Packers. Yeah.
Right, exactly. He does the Underage Packers podcast. And, you know, he did the Make-A-Wish thing, and he treated royally by the Packers. I mean, it was the weekend of his life, and got to break down the huddle and practice, and had Aaron Rodgers escorting him down to the trophy room and all kinds of good stuff. And evidently Rodgers told him that the thumb was broken. And then he kind of let that news out onto Twitter. And, you know, I think all of us probably suspected somewhere along the case. And Kelly, you can speak to this better. You know, there's all different levels of breaking something, right?
So I don't think he like cracked one of his thumb bones in half. He would not be functioning
exactly
in a cast. My guess, and it's an injury I've actually had myself, called a gamekeeper's injury. Gamekeepers. It's back in the days when you had wild game and you would snap the heads of the wild game. That's how you would get it. It's not like being a goalie or anything.
Oh, that's
it's
pleasant.
Most commonly happens when you fall on on a ski pole. It's a ligamental injury on mm-hmm. the sides of the thumb, and it sometimes pulls off some bone and you get a fracture.
Like a tiny fracture or
like
something.
Like a tiny fracture.
Yeah.
Like where the ligaments attach to the bone. My guess is he's got a gamekeeper's thumb. And it's sore, it hurts. You can function. Like when I had one about 20 years ago, I was in a splint. I would take it off all the time because I needed to use my hand. You can still use your hand. It's just you have some laxity, some looseness of the major joint of the thumb, like where the where the thumb kind of meets the hand. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where he's taped. That's why I'm just suspicious it's a gamekeeper's type injury. Google it, people. There's good pictures.
So okay. he won't be like snapping the heads off any turkeys Thanksgiving or
exactly.
anything, right?
Okay. But that's where it got its name. But it's like I said, it's more commonly falling like on a ski pole is the most common way you get it. And that's how I hurt.
Okay.
So let's transition for a second.
No, thank you. I'm fine.
The whole title.
He's gonna make us play
right
the whole title of the show.
Get
is,
your
where
calculator.
Where do we go from here?
Where
as
do
we look at the offseason, what are we gonna do? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers dictates a lot, but we do have some control over if he chooses to want to play. But if he retires or he wants to play, we don't want him. Do we trade him or do you have him come back for another season? I think that's the biggest decision that Brian Gutekunst has to make. What do you do?
Well, what happens in those cases, in each of those cases?
Well, I looked ahead of time, and this was stuff from the summer, so I don't know if it changes much. But had the Packers traded him before June 1st of this year, it would have been about a $40 million hit on the salary cap for 2023. After June 1st, it changed. And it looked like this coming year, he would only be a $15.8 million hit on the cap with about $24.5 million in 2024. So it's spread out over 2 years, like one third now, a little more than one third now and a little more the next year. So trading him became a little cheaper after June 1st of this year. So trading him is a possibility, but maybe he'll just be done and say, I'm done and retire.
And the trade rumors are really out there, aren't they? Those really started up this week. Colin Coward had something he pulled out of his butt and threw it out there. And, of course, everyone freaked out about him going to Seattle. And then people are now talking about the Jets and some other.
And then I think Peter King had him going to, like, swapping for Derek Carr in a third round.
Yeah, I heard of the Derek.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Want to come back to
Devontae, right?
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Just have him back then?
Oh gosh!
So if there is a decent offer involving at least one first round pick, do you trade Aaron Rodgers if he wants to come back? If he's willing to go to that team,
I'm ready for him to be gone. So yeah, yes,
I am too.
Okay,
well, is that going to happen?
His attitude is piss poor. And when you're asking him, like, "Hey, where do we go from here?" and he's like, "Well, I'm going home." That is the most defeatist, horrible attitude I've heard yet from him.
I don't need a quarterback that sulking on the field, and when you've got a fourth down late in the game that you're still in, and what it was, fourth and seven or whatever, and you've got receivers open short, you throw up a prayer to a completely blanketed Alan Lazard on fourth down, and effectively end the game for your team. I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't ever want to see that again.
And I would be equally happy for him riding off the sunset and getting his gold jacket in a couple of years. Just go. I'm done.
Sure.
So let's assume whether Rodgers is here or not, but we'll assume he's not. Right now, the Packers are at about minus $3 million on the salary cap for next year, and they do have 45 players under contract, including one, Aaron Charles Rodgers. The free agent list this year is not quite as awe-striking as, you know, maybe the past couple of years, but there's still a lot of players on here that, obviously, if we resign them, we're adding money to our already negative salary cap. So we're looking at all these players. Is there anyone that we're going to go out of order to resign? So let's start with some of the biggies. Adrian Amos. I think that's pretty much he's gone.
I think we keep him. He's about $7 million right there.
But he's not counting on the cap right now because he'll be a free agent. So you would have to spend more money to get him. That's how.
So then they would be negative 10.
Yes. Now that we've reframed what I just said, let's try this again. Are any of these guys worth adding to
this
deficit? Adrian Amos at safety. You replace him with a rookie. Or is possibly Nixon playing good enough to go in there? Or Rudy Ford?
To me, no, neither of those guys are really bona fide starters. To me, the reason you have to keep Amos is because you're stuck with Darnell Savage.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather replace Savage with other
people. Right, but they gave him the 50-year option, so his money is guaranteed next year regardless. So
he's like a Kevin King. We're kind of stuck with him like a bad penny.
Right.
So we got three wide receivers. Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins.
Cobb is gone.
Okay.
But Cobb is gone. Watkins is gone. Don't need him.
Watkins is gone.
And if we see, this is going to be really pessimistic and a huge gamble, but if Dobbs and Christian Watson are really rising, I might be okay letting Lazard go too.
Well, here's the thing. I think Lazard is going to get an offer that the Packers can't afford.
Yeah, let him go then. Let him go because
what's going to happen. I think he's got a lot of value to a team that has, as CD, you were referring to already a good number one and two receiver, let's say. He's the perfect number three guy with a lot of value.
Would you like to know, according to SpotTrack, what Alan Lazard's average annual salary will be on his new contract?
Well, their estimate of what it will be.
Is it like 10?
Go ahead.
I was going to say $12 million.
$11.1 million per year.
Okay.
We were both close. Yeah, I don't know if he's worth that much, to be honest.
Okay, so there's our three wide receivers.
If you can afford it, he is.
Sure, he is.
But we can't.
I think the only one we could afford is Cobb, but we've said this before. He's like a million years old.
Yeah, I don't want it.
And honestly, with Rodgers retiring, he might be okay with retiring himself.
So two tight ends, both Big Bob Tonyan and Big Dog Mercedes Lewis.
I'd keep Tonyan.
But you I'd have keep to Big pay Dog.
I like Tonyan as a receiver.
Tonyan has not been the same guy after the injury.
That's true. But he's had a couple good plays. But yeah, you're right. You're right. Mercedes.
He has not been the same guy.
Okay, all joking aside, with Matt
Big Dog
saying,
is cheap.
How old is a Big Dog? I don't even know. I know he's old. Like,
I don't know. Doesn't he need one more year to set like a record or something?
Something. 39. Yeah, I want to look. He's
39. Right, but I think he
They're not going to keep him.
One more year.
Cheap.
To set the record for most years played by a tight end or something like that. I don't know. In any case, that's not what
would you like to guess Big Bob's market value for next year?
7.
8.
9.3.
What? Okay. Okay, he's more expensive than I thought.
So.
Yeah, I was thinking 7.
So.
You still there?
Oh, yes. Now our offensive linemen, Elgton Jenkins and Nyman. Both of them are free agents.
This is where it gets really hairy.
Yep.
And this is assuming Bakhtiari's back with his stupid expensive hit against the cap regardless, just like Rodgers is.
Yep.
We'd have to make that assumption.
Yep. How much would we lose? Or how much they, I keep saying we. How much are the Packers lose or be on the line for if they traded Bakhtiari? Because I'm not convinced he's back to 100% just like Tonyan is.
Don't. Who's going to take him?
Yeah.
That's kind of the hard part.
Because he's damaged.
Right.
This is playing Moneyball. Nyman would be cheaper than Jenkins. And Jenkins isn't 100% like he used to be because of his knee.
My first reaction was we got to keep Nyman.
Yeah, Nyman. He's going to be cheap. He's going to be cheaper anyhow.
Yeah.
And he's
if he can somehow figure out, you know, how to keep Jenkins too, that's great. But yeah, that right tackle spot, that's important. You can find other guards, maybe not all pro level, but you know, you can find other guards.
We haven't had all pro level guards in probably a decade.
Just so you know, if you tried to trade Bakhtiari before June 1st, it would be a $23 million dead cap hit a $5.9 million cap saving.
And after June 1st?
After would be 11 this year, 11 next year, and would save $17 million on the cap.
Right.
Trade
that's what I thought. Yeah.
Trade
well, who's going to take them?
Nobody. But
easy to say. Trade.
Yeah, I know. If you could trade him and you get, that would reduce things substantially. You get rid of Rodgers, he retires, or we trade him, or they trade off Bakhtiari. That it seems kind of pessimistic because there's a cap hit, but it frees up a lot of money though.
The other positions, there's really not that other really big names on defense other than Amos. Chris Barnes.
Didn't he sign super cheap last year?
Possibly, but he is a free agent for next year, so it wouldn't matter. Dean Lowry also is a
bye-bye
agent this year.
Yeah, he can go.
And bye-bye. Of course, Mason Crosby. I think that one is bye-bye. Also a bit of a...
He can retire. I think he'll retire. I don't think he'll negotiate because...
I called for it last year after last season. Said time to move on.
So think about that for a second. Here are... We've just counted
keeping one or two.
11 players, and there's another slew of them. I mean, they're just not as big of names, but we already have 45 players under contract. We now have to replace all of those players with draft picks or free agents or whatever. It's a tough season next year.
Oh, yeah.
Tough season.
But
so
looking
I guess,
at our free agents, I think a lot, I'm okay with, like last year I wanted to keep everybody. And we kept a lot of the talent and some have paid off, some have not. This year, the crop of free agents, I'm more comfortable with letting them walk.
Well, I think you're especially comfortable letting them walk because there's not a lot of hope for next year. I mean, we're not having a lot of hope for this year. Yeah, last year we had an MVP quarterback and 13 wins and we went to the playoffs. It's a whole different ball game, and I don't think we see it improving next year, especially when you know in order to make this magic happen, to do another all-in season, to do another kicking the can down the road season, your talent is even more diluted than what it is now. So
and casting a lot of these free agents off, I think you really can, is setting the tone for, especially if we are looking at a potentially entirely different quarterback next year, is really resetting the team into build mode.
Sad thing is, I don't think we're looking at another quarterback next year.
Oh, if the Packers keep dropping into the top 10, I wish they would take a good quarterback.
Oh, I thought you meant Rodgers being gone.
No, I want Rodgers gone, and then, or regardless, if they fall into the top 10, I would love to draft a blue chip quarterback.
Yeah, I think for sure, assuming there's one there.
So sum it all up.
Who the hell knows?
For another year, somewhere in the middle, or do we just clear the cap and have a hell year?
I'm ready to blow it up.
Blow it up, start over.
I'm ready.
All right. We'll see if Gutekunst listens, and that will take us to the end of the fourth quarter. Where do we go from here? And now we're going to get to this week's game prediction.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, NBC is probably happy with half of the matchup they have for Sunday Night Football. Philadelphia Eagles are 9-1, and they're in the driver's seat in the NFC. Big draw, all black uniforms. The Packers, they can barely win a game at home, much less on the road. The Eagles' nest is going to be loud, obnoxious, and rocking for a selection of fans that are famous for not taking losing well, but they seem pretty good when they're winning. It's a 7:20 kickoff, and the Packers started out as 6.5-point underdogs. Interesting side note, 538.com has the Packers presently sitting with a 6% chance to make the playoffs. If they beat the Eagles, it rises to 16%. If they lose, it's down to less than 2%. This is a high leverage game that really does make or break any possibilities for the rest of the season. Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
Okay, well, that's a good lead in. Here we are with what's really the third straight game that could effectively end the Packers season. The odds of them doing anything meaningful this year are extremely slim, maybe as likely as host country Qatar winning the World Cup. I believe the Packers defense will play well enough to win, shockingly enough. The question is, will the Packers offense go back to what worked against Dallas or stick with the approach that has failed them for most of this season? If they do the former, the Packers can win this game, but the odds are against them being that smart. Eagles 23, Packers 20.
Very generous.
In Philly? Yeah, no. It's going to be a bloodbath. The Packers are going to get booed by the home crowd because that's what Philly does. The Eagles, while they have their vulnerabilities and they've shown it recently, are one of those teams that no doubt are going to be in contention as February draws closer. I haven't seen anything from Rodgers to tell me he's fixing his problems other than taking his ball and going home. And Christian Watson can't carry the entire offense on his back. Unless the defense scores 35 points, it's going to be a long flight home for the Packers to lick their wounds and regroup. Eagles 38, Packers 16, because something like a missed PAT will just make this more obvious that the wheels are coming off the cart.
Wow, you're not a real fan, 38-16.
I'm old enough to remember when these were normal scores.
When the media asks your starting quarterback, hey, where do you go from here? Instead of saying, relax, or run the table, or shh, he says, home. This team is thrown in. Sorry, y'all. It looks like the Bears game's going to be our Super Bowl. No, that's on the road. Man, that's going to be the Lions. The Lions are going to be our Super Bowl. Oh, my God, the Lions are our Super Bowl. Eagles 32, Packers 17.
It's not
good. Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity.
The horror. The horror.
Like wet sacks of cement. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 13th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow @PackersTalk.net on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. Finally, please be sure to head over to our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them across the street from Lambeau Field or on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. Happy Turkey Day, everybody. Go Pack Go.
Gobble, gobble. Go Pack Go.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. See you next week. And there goes those paper slipping again.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, guys, I'm really good at doing the mute button now. Really, I
still
am.
Not me.
I had it on, the mute button, and then for some reason I took it off. Sorry.
Tune in for L to shuffle papers.
I'm so distracted.
And I've got one of these 20-pound dictionaries that I'm just going to start flipping through for no reason.
It's actually the LL Bean catalog.
Why do you make L sound like an old lady from, like, Monty Python?
Oh, God.
Where do we go?